How important do sounds matter in your life? Sounds. You've got the ping, if your phone is set like my phone, my cell phone, and a text comes in. It goes ping, and it tells me somebody sent me a message. Now, some people with that sound, no matter if you're talking to them, no matter whatever, they will pull that out and bring that up. If they're driving, they will bring that out. That ping is very important. If their cell phone rings, if the house phone rings, it often brings us into action. Now, those are some of the sounds. If you hear a siren in your vehicle, you need to figure out where that siren is, don't you? Because you need to stop, get out of the way, pull over appropriately according to the rules of the road. That sound is important to you. But there are other sounds that are important. Some sounds we try not to make. Did you know that your refrigerator door makes a certain sound when it's open? And it's louder at midnight? Did you know when you open up a box of graham crackers and it's 1 a.m. because you've taken some ibuprofen and you need to eat a little bit, and graham crackers aren't bad. That box makes a sound, and it's like the whole house can hear it. You know that cellophane that covers cookies? There are some sounds I wish, like after 8 o'clock, they wouldn't make it. We always thought our parents had hearing problems. But if we opened up a box of graham crackers, they knew. If we opened the fridge door, they knew. If we opened the cookie package, they knew. Yeah. And so when me, was doing wrong stuff, there were another set of sounds I knew. I knew the sound of my parents getting out of bed. I knew the sound of their footsteps. My dad had size 8.5 triple E feet. He was never twinkle toes. We could hear Dad coming in the hall. Right? Mama's lighter, we could still hear the rustle of her dressing gown that she would put on. There are sounds you didn't want to hear because you knew you were in trouble. You are a mess. Now, the next question's a little trickier. Did you ever care about the sounds? The footsteps, the rustling of Mom's robe. Did you just stop listening? And you went with what you were doing anyway. That's the people of Israel. They knew the thunder of God's voice from the mountaintop. They knew through the prophets, this is what the Lord God said. They knew about the two tablets of the law. They knew, in that sense, they knew the sound of God. They knew the cloud of God. They knew the pillar of fire. They knew when the tabernacle was established that God would fill that tent with his glory. And they knew, even with the change of the air pressure within that tent, that the presence of God was there. They knew because the high priest couldn't stay in the tent and he came out. They knew the sound of his robes. They knew. But eventually they didn't care. Amos was the prophet who told the people that they had stopped caring, but God had not stopped talking. If you look at your bulletin, you can see the text. Follow along. I'm not going to reread it for you, but I'm going to walk you through it. God told the prophet, and the prophet told the people, this is how you knew I was trying to tell you something. It sounds weird, but it says, I gave you cleanness of teeth. How does that sound like a problem? But if you understand it, it means you had nothing to eat. You had nothing to eat because the people disobeyed God, the Creator, the Lord, the Provider. You stopped listening to Him, and God stopped providing so that you would hear His voice of anger and love all in one. He wanted your attention. He wanted you to care. He wanted you to come back to Him so He could feed you, so He could provide for you. But it wasn't enough. Your stomach growled and you didn't recognize that was God talking, not just your body. It was God trying to tell you the path you were taking wasn't right. So it wasn't enough. So what did God do? God took away the rain. Rain has its own sound and smell, doesn't it? Yeah. You know, city people don't understand. Smells like rain. City people go, what? You know, how do you know it's going to rain? You smell it. They don't know. But country people know. Y'all know rain, right? See? God's people know. We know rain. But there was no rain. Even the absence of rain was God calling and say, pay attention to me. And in fact, I'll make it obvious, says God. You're not getting rain, but they're going to get rain. And the people over here go, we don't have rain. They got rain. We don't have rain. And when finally they realized they're still not getting rain, they went to other places for water. But God again gave His voice in the sense that the thirst was not quenched. They were not satisfied. Remember the Beatitudes? Blessed are they who thirst and hunger for righteousness. Right? God was calling them. Look at the next one. So you have that, and then you have, you know, I will send blight and mildew. We've all seen, you know, the blight in a leaf. The tomato plants get that blight, and they wither, and, you know, there's no tomatoes. And, you know, we've seen blight in corn crops and wheat, and the harvest becomes negligible, if any. You know, the plants, the stalks, the stuff doesn't even stand up against a normal wind. It's so unhealthy, so brittle, so dry. The blight has consumed the best of it. There's no food. The Creator of life, the Creator of the garden, the Creator of the trees, the Creator of the plants is saying, I can withhold this to you. Call to me. Turn to me. And it tells us they didn't turn. What happened next? He reminds them of the time in Egypt with the pestilence, the 10 plagues, and all of that. He reminds them of the young men with the swords and the chariots of the Egyptian warriors being drowned. He reminds them that that's not the last army that he overcame. He's overcome other armies since then for their protection and for their well-being. But now, they are starting to die. And he reminds them, I overthrew, verse 11, I overthrew some of you. And he reminds them, Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, in my whole lifetime, I've heard people, I'd like to go see Japan. I'd like to go see Germany. I'd like to go see London. I'd like to go see, you know, Denali National Park way up in Alaska. I've never had anybody say, oh, let's go to Sodom. Let's go to Gomorrah. Woo-hoo. Really? It's devastation. It's absolute wipeout. Nothing's left. Nothing to see. And God reminds the people of this. He even says they are like a brand. We might say a piece of kindling out of the fire, you know, a briquette out of the grill. You would not return to me. And so this is what the Lord is going to do. This, I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God. For he who forms you, forms the mountains and creates the winds, declares to man what is his thought, what makes morning darkness, and treads on the heights of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Prepare to meet him. And our time in Lent is to follow Jesus to the cross, for Jesus lived among us in the sense of humanity, and Jesus spoke God's word to us, and he showed the power of the word, stilling the storm, the feeding of the multitudes, casting out demons, raising the dead, healing the sick, the blind see, the deaf speak, the lame walk. You know the list. There's more, isn't there? Jesus showed us the power of God himself, and he was calling out to mankind, turn to me, follow me. And what did mankind do? They shattered, crucify him. Pilate says, I wash my hands. I'm done. People wouldn't listen. And Jesus called out again from the cross, not just I thirst, but he said the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus calls out with love. As the Father sent all of this calamity, it was because he loved them. You know, in an NCIS program, you have Gibbs, and every now and then he slaps the back of the head. You know, he gets their attention. He's not hurting them. You know, why'd you think that? Why'd you do that? Have you ever felt God do that to you? I think he hit the top of mine. He calls out, he reaches out to us in love, and in Christ on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then, in a way that's beyond our understanding, there he's nailed, and there he says, you know, as he carries our sin, it is finished. The wrath of God, the judgment of God, is taken care of. And as he spreads his arms on the cross, willingly being nailed, because you can't take his life, but he does lay it down. There he is, and he's trying to get our attention from Calvary's Hill. Are you listening? Return to the Lord your God. And after his death, and after his resurrection, he sent his disciples to the upper room. He said, don't leave yet. And then eventually, you know, you have the day of Pentecost. And then he sends them out into the world to speak that gospel. Return to the Lord. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because you shall be saved. For years we've been doing Lent. And for years God has been calling. And yes, we're still stubborn, stiff-necked, mule-headed. Those are the nice words. We're still the unrepentant at times. We're the disobedient, rebellious children of God. And in Lent, we hear him coming, warning us do not do this. But walk in my way. Why? Because I love you. Walk with me. Why? Because it's the way of life. Listen to me. Why? Because it's the power, the word of life, of salvation and forgiveness and hope. Return to the Lord your God. And he will say that until Christ comes. He will speak it until the last person stops breathing. Return to the Lord your God. Believe, and you shall be saved. It's a journey. It's a daily journey. Amen.